What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mike Milner. Today's episode, we're going to dive into a spicy topic. We're going to talk about body fat set point theory. Body fat set point theory is a theory, as it would suggest, that your body fights to keep you at a certain weight. And if you lose weight, then your body will fight to bring you back to wherever your set point was. And this topic was brought to my attention because I had somebody who is a listener of the show who messaged me on Instagram, which, by the way, I highly encourage that because that's where most of the topics come from. Somebody asked me the other day, how do you always come up with material? And I said, because people message me and they ask me questions and then I just ramble about it on the show. And this is no different. So the context was somebody had messaged me and she is currently on an amazing weight loss journey. I believe she said that she's down 85 pounds on her own, just absorbing information, putting it into practice, doing incredible things with her progress. And she had mentioned that Oprah, of course, I have not watched this segment, but she said there was a segment where Oprah was talking to somebody and they were discussing body fat set point theory. And the context was basically, according to the woman who messaged me, because again, I have not seen this clip, but she said that the conversation was basically that in obese individuals, the set point reaction is so strong that it's damn near impossible for them to lose weight and keep it off because their body fights extra hard to regain weight. And she said it was really disempowering. She said it was really frustrating to hear that because this is an individual who does have a substantial amount of weight to lose. And she's like, am I just destined to gain it back? Like my body's inevitably going to fight back. And, you know, she's down 85 pounds, I believe. And she's like, am I just kidding myself and like thinking that I'm going to keep the weight off? But she's approaching this from a lifestyle perspective. She's doing all the right things. And it's really unfortunate. You know, when something is working in practice in real life and you have other people who are spouting out theory, and we question our own real life data. And I say this all the time, your data, your real life experience and your data is better than anyone else's theory, including my own. I can give you all of the best guesses and hypotheses and theories in the world. It does not fucking matter. Your real life data is what matters. So I was like, what do you think? Like you're living it. You are literally living it right now. What do you think? And she said, you know, I agree and I am doing it, but it's frustrating to hear stuff like that. And it is frustrating. So I thought it would be helpful to talk about what we actually know about body fat set point theory. What is it? Is it real? What evidence do we have? And all that good stuff. Before I get into that, of course, it's the Wednesday edition, which means somebody's going to win something for free. A little supplement action that we do every single Wednesday. And all you have to do to be eligible is to leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify. And the way that you do that is you open the podcast app on your phone, you go to the search function, you type in Mind Over Macros, you tap on the show, and then you scroll until you see ratings and reviews, and you write a review and submit, and you are eligible to win. And each week, I pick a winner, and that winner gets a free supplement from any one of our sponsors. We've got three wonderful sponsors, Cured Nutrition, Organifi, or Legion Athletics. And you can go to all of their websites, check out all of the amazing products that they have available, and you pick one that you want, and we send it to you totally for free. So this week's winner, the username is Zing Fling, congrats. The title says, well worth the listen. And the review says, I've been listening to Mike for a couple of months now, and the knowledge that I've gained from this podcast is unmatched. Mike implements valuable information in a relatable, easy to understand manner. Additionally, he shares his own struggles on his fitness journey, showing that we are not alone. I look forward to listening to future episodes and will be ready to soak up all the tips and tactics that will help me throughout my own journey. I appreciate all that you do, Mike. Keep it up. Thank you so much, Zing Fling. I appreciate you as well. And I intend to keep it up. If you want to message me, send me an email, mike@peakoptimizationperformance.com. Let me know what product you want and I will send it your way. Sorry, I'm in a peach vibe mood right now. I got my peach vibe Celsius, which I think is the best Celsius flavor. Don't argue with me on that. It's proven. Okay. So a little other housekeeping notes. I love it when I can't speak on my podcast because I don't edit anything. So it just comes out the way that it comes out. Anyway, housekeeping notes. Leave the review, but also subscribe and follow wherever you listen, and then spread the love by sharing any episode that resonates with you on Instagram. Just take a screenshot, post it to your stories, and then tag me on Instagram @coach_Mike_Milner. And I truly mean it when I say the episodes come from you. The topics come from you. So don't hesitate to reach out. I personally respond to any message in my DMs. It is me personally. And if I don't respond, it means that I didn't see it. If I don't respond to an email, it means that I didn't see it. It doesn't mean that I'm ignoring you. It just means that I did not see it. So if you need to, usually I'm pretty quick. If not, I probably didn't see it. Anyway, all right. So set point theory. Let's talk about it. The basic gist of body fat set point theory is that your body and my body and our bodies will try to maintain our weight within a preferred range, which we would otherwise call homeostasis. And some researchers believe that when you lose weight, it's really difficult to keep it off because your body is going to kick in certain mechanisms to get you back to your set point. So if you've always been a certain weight, your body kind of acclimates to that being your homeostatic set point. This is where it feels safe. This is like the setting on the thermostat where it doesn't have to work at all. It just stays that temperature. And then when you adjust the thermostat, it's like, uh-oh, homeostatic balance is off. We need to get back to that temperature, right? So it tries to kick in certain mechanisms to get you back there. So the reason why this is a theory is because it's really difficult to prove it with research. Now, we do know that based off of research and studies, that people have a hard time keeping weight off. Losing weight is very easy. And you might think, no, it's not. I struggle with weight loss all the time. You don't struggle with weight loss. You struggle with maintaining the weight that you lose, which is what most people struggle with. In fact, 6 out of 7 people who attempt to lose weight will be successful. 6 out of 7 people who attempt to lose weight will be successful. When it comes to keeping the weight off, if we look at 1 year post weight loss, 20% will be successful. And then if we look at 3 years post weight loss, then the research gets really ugly. Depending on where you look, you'll find anywhere from 3% to 8%, somewhere in that range. I've seen it as much as 10%. So let's just call it 3 to 10% of people will maintain their weight loss for more than 3 years. So you could say that based off of that, set point theory is real. And then you might say, well, if my body's just going to fight to keep me at a specific weight, then why even bother? Which is not the best thought process to have. Because if we just take the statement that apparently was delivered on Oprah, the reason why statements like that are so dumb is because all it takes is one thing to completely shatter that statement. Like, why make a statement that is so easily refuted by real life evidence? So in other words, if the theory of if you're obese, you can't keep the weight off because your body has this mechanism that forces you to gain the weight back. And by the way, the outcome or like the objective was to get people to do weight loss injections to help with obesity because they just can't do it. Like, your body is fighting so hard against you that you just can't do it on your own without these medications. So there was obviously an agenda there, but that's besides the point. What actually matters is, has there ever been, this is the black swan theory. If you've only ever seen white swans, and you try to argue with somebody about white swans, you're going to find yourself in a very difficult argument because they hold on to that belief. That's all they've seen or known. However, so typically what people do is they'll go around and they'll just find more and more white swans, right? So they make these statements like white swans are the only kinds of swans in existence. And then they'll go all over the world showing you all these different white swans. Instead, what would be more effective is just to find a black swan. Instead of confirming the bias, let's just look for the one piece of evidence that completely shatters that whole belief, which is the one like, hey, there was a black swan in your backyard this whole time that completely destroys your argument. And that's so with this particular context, has there ever been anybody in the history of ever that has been obese, that has lost weight and kept it off for however long? And we know that has happened many, many, many times over. So the entire statement and argument is completely null and void because we have evidence of the black swans. So her whole thing about being obese that basically prevents you from losing weight and keeping it off, therefore you need medical intervention. We know from real life data and evidence and experience that that is completely untrue. But what we also know is that there are certain mechanisms at play, regardless, by the way, of whether you're obese or not. When you disrupt homeostasis, your body will kick in certain mechanisms. We know this to be true. Why? Because it's a survival machine. Your body just wants you to survive. And as we evolved, a big threat to our survival was famine. Famine was a major threat to our survival as a species. So we have a lot of famine-based mechanisms that kick into play, which means if you suddenly start eating less calories, your metabolism and the way that you process energy will change. Your metabolism will slow down. You'll burn fewer calories. Even if you try to maintain the same level of activity, you will subconsciously burn less calories. You will see certain hormonal changes. You might find yourself with more hunger, with more cravings. You might find yourself thinking about food more frequently. All of these things are true. So there is a protective mechanism that comes into play that makes it easy to regain weight. But there is no proof that there is an actual set point and that we return to a certain weight. Because once we start trying to incorporate this theory into research and studies, it is impossible to tease this out. Right? So think about it like this. We know that starvation and famine has been one of the biggest threats. I mean, it's no longer a threat in most developed countries. But our bodies have not yet, like the mechanisms at play have not yet changed or haven't updated with the update in food abundance, right? So here's the thing. So we know that these mechanisms are at play. Lower calorie burn. You might find that Ghrelin, which is your hunger hormone, kicks up a notch. Leptin, which is your fullness hormone, goes down. We also know from, especially from the Minnesota starvation study, that people become so food focused. Like that was an actual starvation study that would never be allowed to be done ever again. And the biggest thing that I took away from that study is that these were people, men in the study, who had no disordered tendencies around food and became completely food obsessed. Completely food obsessed. However, it's impossible for us to tease out what happens if you gradually lose weight and you don't do extreme starvation. What if you don't, like, a lot of the research is based off of we're creating a specific deficit or we're following a specific plan or we're doing something to disrupt homeostasis, and then we're noticing all of these mechanisms at play. However, we also have evidence of people who have been able to lose weight and keep it off for life. And we also, to add another layer of nuance to it, we also see patterns that would indicate that lifestyle is probably the most important factor. So we've got college students often gaining weight. You've heard of like the freshman 15. People often gain a lot of weight after marriage. We know that obesity is more prevalent in less fortunate areas. So like people who are less affluent have higher levels of obesity. So there's, you know, access to education, information, quality food. We also know that location. So if you were to go from Asia to America, that's strongly correlated with weight gain. And if you were to move from America to Asia, that's strongly correlated with weight loss, lifestyle differences, cultural differences. We also see a strong connection between children who like consumption of television time with weight. All of these things would say it's not your body trying to maintain a certain set point, but it's more that your lifestyle is contributing to weight gain. So now the set point theory, why, if I have the set point and I start to gain weight, let's say after getting married, which is another thing, people often gain weight after getting married. Why isn't my body trying to fight to maintain my pre-marriage weight? Shouldn't we see the opposite kick in? So when we look at the dieters who have kept the weight off, we see that there's some level of self-monitoring. They weigh themselves. They monitor their food. They have some way of monitoring what they're doing. It's kind of like budgeting. So like you can say the people who save really well and are good at their finances, there are people who pay attention to their finances. The people who have kept the weight off, we see this commonality that they have some form of self-monitoring. We also see that they took small steps. Based off of research, these were people who were not like, I have to lose 100 pounds overnight. They were just focused on the small steps in the right direction. Okay, like, let me just focus on the next 5 pounds. Let me just focus on the process, the action steps, the habits, the behaviors. It wasn't about the huge, massive weight loss. Even when it led to huge, massive weight loss. We also see a consistent exercise routine. And by exercise, I mean movement, daily, walking, things like that. We also see that they viewed their eating plan, their nutrition plan, as a lifestyle. They weren't on a diet. there's a lot of variety in the way that they eat. So we can't say, you know, this whole thing with what's the best diet. The research says there really isn't a best diet when it comes to these individuals who have lost weight and kept it off for a long time. The commonality is that they viewed it as a lifestyle. It was the thing that they could stay consistent with. That's what we see in research. We also see that people who regain weight frequently blame willpower. The most common culprit, according to people who regain weight, is willpower. But what we see in research is that the role that willpower plays is pretty small. It's not that they have more willpower. It's that they rely on willpower less. Once again, this comes down to lifestyle and environment. So people who are successful recognize that willpower is going to be drained every single day throughout the day. So what don't they do? They don't put themselves in situations where they have to constantly tax their willpower. And what I mean by that is maybe they set up their, you know, their pantry in a particular way. Maybe they got certain foods out of plain sight so they don't have to pass them every 5 minutes. Maybe they put certain practices and habits in place so it becomes very thoughtless to make good decisions. Like there's different things that you can do with your environment. And then there's the lifestyle variable where if I'm going out, let's say, to happy hour every single day and I'm trying to stay consistent and not drink and not eat like an asshole, but I'm putting myself in an environment where I have to tax my willpower every single day, that's going to be difficult. It's the lifestyle variables. What we see is that the people who are successful do not rely on willpower. It's not that they have more of it. It's that they are simply intentional about not taxing it. I want to take a brief pause in this episode to tell you about Cured Nutrition. If you don't know about Cured right now, you need to step your game up. Like, for real. Let's get with the times here. Nobody's doing it better than Cured when it comes to managing stress, reducing anxiety, improving sleep, all of the things that we need more of. Like, this entire episode is all about not putting your body under too much stress, because we don't want to send the threat to survival signal. We want to send the safety signal. And the safety signal can be done through lifestyle, through nutrition, through movement, but also through supplementation. And that's where Cured comes into play. Not only do they have the best stress-relieving supplements and products to help with reducing anxiety, improving sleep, but they are doing it literally better than anybody else out there. I highly recommend the Serenity Gummies, my favorite. I take them every night to help with sleep. The Calm Caps are amazing for anxiety. You've got the Zen Caps, the Night Caps, and you get all of that for 15% off just by being a Mind Over Macros listener. If you go to curednutrition.com/popfam, that's curednutrition.com/popfam, and you use code POPFAM at checkout, you'll get 15% off any of their products. Highly, highly recommend the Serenity Gummies for sleep. If you don't want a microdose of THC, which is just a very, very, very small dose, you will feel it. You will feel it. It's a nice feeling. But if you don't want that, go with the Zen Caps or just do the Sleep Bundle, which is already discounted, and then you get the 15% off on top of that. If you need help with anxiety, go with the Calm Caps. If you need some focus in your life, go with the Rise product. And yeah, all of that, 15% off, curednutrition.com/popfam. The code is popfam at checkout. And now let's get back to the episode. So circling back to the theory, we also have this mechanism at play where with your fat cells, if you diet extremely, let's say, you don't lose the number of fat cells. They shrink, but they don't. The exact number of fat cells that you have stays the same. However, if you gain weight very quickly, what happens is the fat that accumulates in the cell, the cells will increase in size to a certain point, but then the fat kind of spills over and then they split. So you actually create new fat cells, which is not a good thing, but it's not a death sentence either. It just is another protective mechanism against starvation, because your body's like, okay, well, now we have more storage units, right? Now we have more storage units to protect against famine. Now it sucks, because once you gain those new cells, you can't get rid of them. Like, you cannot lose fat cells. They can shrink, but you cannot get rid of them. You can accumulate more. And the way that you do that is by gaining weight back very quickly. So when I gained like 80 pounds in a year, my body, I'm sure, accumulated a ton of new fat cells. I still have those fat cells, even in a leaner body. Those fat cells cannot go away. Now they're just smaller. That's it. But can't get rid of them forever. They're with me forever. Now, if I were to eat my face off and gain 50 pounds very quickly, I'd probably accumulate even more. Maybe, depending if the ones that I have, you know, kind of overflowed and they needed more storage, if that makes sense. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is because there are mechanisms that protect you, that keep you alive. But do you know what happens when you create a lifestyle and you make habit changes and you make behavior changes that are more conducive? Like, the same way that we see these correlations between things like marriage and weight gain and location and weight gain and all these different things. It's similar when you improve your lifestyle that's more conducive to living in a leaner, or we could even say healthier, body. That will become your new normal. So if you take things from a behavioral, habitual, slow and steady, process-focused lens, you don't have to worry about all of these protective mechanisms. The way that your body is fighting back is because it actually feels that there is a real threat to survival. So of course, you're going to be dealing with worse hormonal and metabolic conditions. It makes sense. That's what should happen. Now, we can mitigate that. And the way that we mitigate that is by not dieting extremely, not being overly restrictive, not eliminating food groups or pretending like certain foods are evil, not dieting for too long, not dieting year-round. These are all the basics, the fundamentals. If you want to create a new normal, it happens gradually. It happens behaviorally. It happens psychologically. It happens environmentally. That's what new normal looks like. And then that becomes homeostasis, right? Like, it's kind of similar to, think about it like this, is the best analogy I can think of off the top of my head. When you're lifting, your body also senses a threat. So cortisol goes up, adrenaline goes up. You are in fight or flight mode. When you're lifting heavy, your body feels a stress on your muscles, on your body. And it's like, get this fucking thing off of me. Put this weight down, drop it, get rid of it. This is a threat. And you keep doing the thing, right? You keep lifting the weight. And then what happens? Your body accommodates. So what was once a threat to your survival now becomes an adaptation that allows you to get stronger and build new muscles. So it was once a weight that felt really stressful, after time, after gradually, progressively overloading your muscles and allowing your body time to recover and not feel a constant threat, right? It's just an acute threat, short term. Then your body accommodates. And then all of a sudden, what was once a threat is no longer a threat, unless you lift heavier and heavier, which is what you want to do. But my point is, if I build a bunch of muscle and build a bunch of strength, and then I go back to like my original first weight that I ever picked up, your body's not even going to flinch. It's going to feel light. It's going to feel like nothing. It's not a threat. It's not a stress, because you have a new normal. You have a new baseline. It's the same thing with body fat loss. We want to create a new normal and a new baseline, which means it cannot be a consistent and persistent threat to your survival, which is how most people treat it. So yes, your body is going to kick in certain mechanisms to restore homeostasis. Knowing that allows us to work smarter, not harder. And the theory that you shouldn't even bother because you're just going to end up regaining the weight is completely asinine, because we know from real life data, we have the black swans to show for it. I'm one of them. I've maintained an 80-ish pound weight loss for 10 years now. So I was classified as obese. My BMI put me very much in the obese category. Why am I not obese? How would Oprah explain that? It completely disproves the entire theory. My body has a new normal. Now, I have since gone from 195 to about 182, 183. And I can still get away with like what happened this past weekend, which is I ate like a total asshole unexpectedly. I didn't plan for it. This was the first time since I started my fat loss phase. I'm in my reverse right now, but I started my fat loss phase in January. This is the first time that I was just like purely unplanned asshole mode. Friday and Saturday. Sunday, right back to it. Weighed in on Monday, back to 183. Because I'm solidifying a new normal. This is a process. Solidifying the new normal. It hasn't been too extreme. It hasn't been too long. So initially, there's the threat, right? The hunger kicks in, all that stuff. And I just keep solidifying it through the behaviors and habits. And now I'm reestablishing this new normal by getting back to maintenance, homeostasis, still incorporating the daily movement, not relying on willpower. All the things that we know from research that works for weight maintenance. This whole idea that you're just going to hit this new set point or your old set point is just ridiculous. Yes, there are mechanisms at play that we have to be mindful of. All that does is it changes the approach. It tells us not to be too extreme, not to be too restrictive, play the long game, slow and steady. And then when you reach your goals, it has to be something that you can do for the long haul, because we are solidifying a new normal. We are solidifying a new baseline. It's the same thing with building muscle. It's the same thing with changing anything. Anytime you make a change, there's going to be a level of resistance that tries to pull you back. It's not just with your body composition. It's with everything. You know, there's that really uncomfortable moment when you try to learn a new skill. I learned this new program called Keynote. It's on Mac, Apple Keynote, I think it is. And it's really cool. It's kind of like PowerPoint combined with Illustrator, combined with, I don't know, I'm like so not tech savvy whatsoever. So the first thing that when I open it, I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck is this? Because that's my body trying to keep me, my brain being like, uh-oh, unfamiliar, uncertain, run away, run away. And then you push past that. And now all of a sudden, I feel much more competent, even though there's still so much that I could still do with it that I don't know about, just by pushing past the initial set point, right? trying to pull me back to my current set point. And I just push past it and keep learning. Now all of a sudden there's a new baseline established. Everything in the body happens the same way. There's a stress and then there's an adaptation. There's a stress and then there's an adaptation. The problem is when the stress never stops and we don't allow for adaptation to occur. And the way that that happens is we do things too extremely, too restrictively, chronic stress, that sort of thing. Don't, if somebody says something that can very easily be refuted by just finding the one black swan, just let the bullshit meter ring as it should. Let the bullshit meter ring as it should. I see this all the time, like all over the place. It's like people will say something about, you know, everything's evil. You know, carbs are evil and vegetables are evil and you can't, seed oils, right? But like, do we have evidence of people eating carbs and being lean and healthy? Of course. So the whole argument is so fucking stupid. It's asinine. All we need to do is find the one example and the whole argument goes to shit. So let the bullshit meter ring loudly when that happens. Anyway, that's the deal with body fat set point theory. It is just a theory because it's really difficult to tease out in research, but we do have research on the mechanisms at play when you lose weight. We do have research around the people who have lost weight and kept it off. So we know how this process works. There's no secret. Everybody wants to believe there's a secret. There's no secret. It's lifestyle change. It's behavior change. It's habit change. It's identity change. These are the things that actually work over and over again. Hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully that's helpful. If you have any follow-up questions, let me know. Otherwise, I'll talk to you next time.